Hey, this is Joe Biden. Listen, I know times are tough and there's a lot of fear out there, but I also know America will come back strong if we've got the right leadership. We can get kids back in school, folks back to work, back to their lives safely if we do it together. So thanks for listening. I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We're back yet again. Another week. We are, well, I'm back in the building, still in the same vicinity. You out there in the A, what's good with you? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. You know, we got the show popping. So feeling like that's in a good place as far as work on the work side.
Okay.
So that was cool. Shit, you know, they had me. They done went public with a nigga.
What you mean? They put you in deadline? What you talking about?
Nah, they put me on an IG live last weekend with Julissa to talk about my piece. So that was my first time on. That was my first time on live.
Really?
Yeah.
What you think?
You know, I had the, you know what I'm saying, hood anxiety of I can't be Teddy Riley. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Lord God, please don't let me be Teddy Riley.
So what happened?
And as I was doing it, I could see how easy you could be Teddy Riley. You know what I'm saying? But nah, it went cool, man. I was able to get on, came through clean, and we did the live. And so it was cool, and she kind of branched off from the topics that we had from the company, and was talking about, you know, career advice type shit. So, you know, the End of Conversation guru shit kicked in real good. So
okay,
that made it easy, because that's the type of shit we talk about all the time anyway. So that was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was cool.
Yeah. Did they record the live, or is it just, it was live? If you were there, you were there.
I think it was just, if you were there, were you there? Because I went to look for it. I think I probably had an opportunity to save it, but I didn't know to do it.
Because when
it popped back up, I just clicked out of it and went on. I was like, damn, that's probably where you're supposed to say the shit.
Right.
So, it's a one and done, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I'll check to see if it's somewhere in the zeitgeist. But it was one and done. But, it was fun. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it gave me a lot more respect for the verses, the old verses, you know what I mean? When niggas was just in the house.
So you said it's very easy to go Teddy Riley. What did you see? Where did you see the pitfalls?
Well, because it's like, okay, when the first immediate thing is, I think, okay, I got this, boom. You know what I mean? I'm waiting on them to give me the cue to request to be in the shit. But then I didn't see where you request to be into the live. I'm like, oh, shit. I've seen it before, but I don't see it now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm about to be Teddy off the rip. So
you hear that shot clock clicking. You know what I'm saying?
Bullet and sweat start busting out my forehead. So I called the social media dude, like, yo, where's the request button? And he was like, if you don't see it, he was like, just click out and then click back in and it should pop up. I was like, all right, bet. Clicked out, clicked back in, there it was. I was like, phew. So before she called on me, I was able to find the button.
Okay.
So then you click in, you're there. Now you're wondering, is your internet connect going to live up to the standards? You know what I'm saying? Is you going to be the fuzzy one at the bottom, or are you going to be clean? Right. You know what I mean? Luckily, shit came through clean. You know what I'm saying? Thank God, Xfinity, for coming through with the good Wi-Fi. You know,
there you go. Shout out to Xfinity for them bars.
No doubt. So then, lastly, it's just, you don't want to stumble over what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So it is live, and you got all of the corporate people watching. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't used to that kind of behavior.
Right.
We on here, you know, I might cuss a lot. I might, you know what I'm saying, say some slick shit here and there, you know. A good nigga might pop out, a good, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was cool. So, you know, I held up. And then after that, you know what I'm saying, it was smooth sailing.
Okay. So, what was the piece?
The piece? Oh, the piece was, the piece was hip-hop feminism, which was another thing. I didn't want to look like that dude that's coming out here repping all the females. Mm-hmm. So I had to make a point that I just produced it. And a black woman actually wrote the piece, and we just made sure that she had what she needed to make a successful piece. So, you know, I broke it down. You know, it was through the lens of Meg, Cardi, and Nicki. Mm-hmm. We had Karen Civil on there, you know, talking some stuff, you know what I mean, breaking it down. You know, it's very interesting because this conversation is coming up a lot right now. Especially like with the Tory Lanez thing and Protect Black Women, which is, you know, my piece for this week, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, when you really have to dig into that topic, you know what I'm saying? You kind of get to see like where, you know, the media, where the voices that kind of control the conversation, they do fall short when it comes to talking about issues that affect black women. You know, you saw that with Breonna Taylor and how long it took for people to kind of get behind that. And, but I think what people get it kind of confused and crossed up is that, you know, that's from a media, social media lens, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of times it's applied to black men in general, you know what I'm saying? Which includes me. And I don't feel like it's always deserving that conversation when it's put on you just cause the social media isn't behind it or the media isn't behind it and it's put on like where the voices. I think, you know, sometimes you got to look at what's going on in real life, you know what I mean? And not judge everything through the lens of what's being talked about and what's trending in social.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, It's a double-edged sword because you do see the issue and you do see the shortfall in the conversation. But then, you know, in your day-to-day life, it's not that way. So, you know, I think it gets a little out of control, not even just on that issue, just in social media topics in general where, you know, everything becomes generalized. You know what I'm saying? Men ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Then on the flip side, black men don't cheat. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know what I mean? It's just like all these generalizations that are applied to society as a whole when social media is not the majority of society. It's these small silos that come together in the algorithm. And, you know, the conversation is in a feedback loop. Yeah. So, you know, it had me looking at, okay, how do you do this in real life more so than fight what's on social media?
Yeah. Now that's true. There's no real room for niche in social media. You know what I mean? Like you gotta go broad. It's, you know, generalizing, you know, and people do, they look at your life based on your social media. Like if it's not on any of those platforms, you not living it. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting time. Why do you think, beyond just the generality of some of the social media conversation, where else do you see that? Why do you feel like there's such a shortfall with black women in particular?
Well, I mean, it's a shortfall with black men too. I mean, but if we're gonna talk about black women, it's like, you know, when something happens, like, you know, we got this human trafficking going on and black girls go missing and, you know, saying black girls get caught up into sex trafficking and shit like that. Nobody talks about that. You know what I'm saying? But if mm-hmm. if you know, the kids on the other side go right. missing, it's a nationwide manhunt. It's you know what I mean? It's big news.
Amber alerts
is all that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just think just like a lot of like when Serena Williams talked about having her baby and you know, she was feeling weird and she was telling them to check the blood clots and shit. And they was like, nah, don't worry about it, ain't nothing. And then it turns out that it was something. I seen that firsthand with my wife. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
when
really?
We had our,
wow.
Yeah, when we had our first child, you know, mm-hmm. she went into the hospital with, you know, like back pains or whatever. And then it ended up turned out to be preeclampsia, which turned into full-blown eclampsia, which is a rapid blood pressure rise, which, you know, you can, you know, get seizures, you could die. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So when we first went in there, they was like laissez-faire about the shit, giving her the wrong medicine for the wrong thing. Then when she started having the seizures and shit, you know, they running around, you know, looking in textbooks and shit. I was like, well, goddamn, I can look at a textbook. But the initial right. workup, the doctor came in there. He was real rough and, you know what I'm saying? He was just very cold and he wasn't kind of listening to what she was saying and shit. And, I was hot. I wanted to fight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then all of this played out. She had the seizures. Then they finally realized what was going on. And then they started taking care. But in the beginning, they kind of was ignoring the symptoms that she was talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when she started having the seizures and shit, and they was trying to, you know, work on it and all that shit, she was like, I'm not fucking with none of y'all until all of you get in here. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and she forced them to bring me in the room because, mm-hmm. them, you know what I'm saying, they were very non-responsive to the right. things she was talking about. And
she needed an advocate.
Yeah. Right. And it was simply because she was black. From the way I see it, it's like, because from walking in the door, it was like laissez-faire about the shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you see it firsthand, like when you're around it, you know what I mean? You see how I have a daughter who's 12 years old that's much taller than the rest of the girls. She's, you know, tallest one in her grade, including the boys. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, she gets judged a lot differently than her little white friends that are there with her. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So it's more like when the teachers, it was like a couple years ago when the teacher was talking about her and her group of friends, which she's only black girl, it was like, you know, well, she's a popular girl. You know what I'm saying? And like, why are we, you know what I'm saying? Why are we etching out a segment for her? Why is she just not, when you talked about the other group of girls, you didn't identify what group of girls they were. They were just students. You understand? So it seemed to me as if the popular girl didn't need to be included in the educational process from a academic standpoint. You were going to just cast them off to the side and say, oh, those just the popular girls, and they make the other girls feel, you know what I'm saying, bad about themselves because they're not popular, basically is what she was saying. It was like, you are the grown person in the room, you know what I'm saying? Right. If you need to make adjustments to your seating charts or the social sphere of the class, then that's your job. That's not my, you know what I'm saying, 9-year-old's job to figure out the social dynamics. You know what I'm saying? She is who she is, and because she's popular has no bearing on what she's in school to do, which is learn. And you're the teacher, your job is to teach. So therefore, I don't see why you have felt the need to use the language of separation on my child. You know what I'm saying? So like those microaggressions go a long way. So the next year, she had a teacher that saw her being popular as an asset that she can use as a teacher because the other girls looked up to her. So she used her to be more involved in the educational process, and she thrived. So then last year they had this thing where This is the first time they ever did it. Usually you go to the parent-teacher beginning of school thing to kind of get orientation and all that. They tell you about what the fuck they're going to do and all that type shit. This particular time, they had a listen. That's all the teachers did was listen to you as a parent. They had like a set of questions or whatever, and they asked you about your child. Okay, cool. So this is my time to get it all on the table up front and compare and contrast.
Wait, hold on a second. It's a listen, but what you said, they have a set of questions that the teachers ask you the questions, yeah, and then
the teachers ask the parent about your child. You know what I'm saying? And mostly it's like, you know, who is your child? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it's like, for me, I'm like, okay, cool. I like this because I need you to know. And then I was able to compare and contrast the social dynamics between a teacher that separated her from the pack, from the educational group, and then a teacher that included her in the educational group. And that shit was, you know what I'm saying, had never happened. And it was light years as far as the difference in her academic process. Now, she feels like, you know what I'm saying, one of them ones as far as the academics, because she's been included. Now she's able to shine. She's able to show her talent. She's able to show how she's different as well, because now they're operating from a point of who she is and the inclusion, because one, she has an advocate in both of her parents. And two, you're advocating not just for, you know, hey, she needs to learn and she needs to do this, but hey, this is who she is. And this is what you should keep in mind when you're teaching her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now, when the pandemic happened, she became even more so involved because how social she was in the beginning. So now it plays out a lot differently in the virtual, because she always has a lot going on with her phone and FaceTime with her friends and FaceTime with her cousin and be on the FaceTime all weekend. And I used to think it was a problem. Like, yo, why are you on FaceTime with your cousin in Atlanta all weekend? Mm-hmm. And they just live life together on the phone.
Right.
But when pandemic happened and remote learning came into play, I thought that she was taking harder because she was so social. But now she was super prepared because she was so social with the camera and with the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like being in the phone was nothing new to her.
Right.
Seeing her friends through the phone was nothing new. And she thrived and was able to help other kids thrive. And that's the big difference. You know what I'm saying? But you had to fight for that, because if you let it be, it would have just been, oh, she over there, and then they make it like, oh, the cool, popular people over there, they don't need to be a part of this process. Let them be over there doing what they do.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? So protecting black women, it comes into play at every step of the way.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying, they adultify our daughters. You know what I'm saying? Right. Then when you're out in the world, you know, people, you know, look at our daughters and say, well, that type of shit supposed to happen to them because they some old black girls anyway. You know what I'm saying? Booty shouldn't be so big. You know what I'm saying? Right. You shouldn't talk slick then. You shouldn't talk about your pussy if you don't want nobody grabbing on your pussy. Like shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That's the sentiment that people have. And they don't have that about the Paris Hiltons of the world. As much wild shit as they do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, Kim K could go on and make a porn video and then keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. It's fucked up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can see it. It's like they steal the innocence. And what's so interesting is like, that's such a mind fuck too, because in one way, it kind of sounds positive to say, yo, you're a popular kid, but it's like almost like a smooth way to dismiss you in a way that doesn't sound dismissive. It kind of sounds like you bigging her up. You know what I mean? Like, no, we ain't worried about you. Oh, you know what I mean? That's the rock you to sleep shit. We ain't worried about you. Right. You fine. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be all right. And next thing you know, you're not. you know? And yeah.
Right. Because that's good that, you know. 'Cause it don't take long. You know what I'm saying? 1-2 years in the right grades and you behind. You're not a part of the process and you're not even learning how to be a part of the process. You're actually learning how to be left out.
Right. Get comfortable with it.
Right, because that particular teacher was overcompensating for the non-social girls to boost them up while, you know, looking at the popular girls and saying, hey, you know, you guys are the disruption when you could easily fix that shit because you're the teacher. You know, even if they are a disruption, you separate that shit, move them around, and you make them part of the process, and you won't have that. It's like my pops was a teacher, right? And he taught at Alapata Elementary, which is in Liberty City, Miami. And, you know, it's the hood, right? And you got a lot of wild shit going on in different kinds of scenarios and kids coming from different places in one place. And so what he would do, because you ultimately going to get some wild kids, what he would always do was he was always take the wildest kid, the alpha wild kid, and make them part of the process. You know what I'm saying? Give them a job to do since, you know what I'm saying, they would normally be a bully or they'll normally be a disruptive, coming to class disrupting shit. Be like, okay, such and such, you wanna talk while I'm talking, then you come up here and teach the class. And then he put them on the spot, put them on the board, give them some shit to do. You know what I'm saying? Tell them to go lead the line. Get all your people in line so we can go to lunch, you know? And then they march down the hall like they're in the military. So he had a smooth way of including the kids who could have been a problem. But now they are working for you. They're working with you. And they're helping the process along. And I don't think that happens all the time if people don't care.
You know, go ahead.
No, I was done.
I've peeped at, I got this theory. I was looking at teaching, and I was talking to a couple people that are teachers, and I was just curious. It reminds me of, like, policing in the same way of, like, you know, how they say police should be policing, you know, police from that community should police the community. You know what I mean? Right. Like, the more familiar you are with that community, the more humanely you'll approach it. You know what I mean? It won't be such an outsider touch, you know? Right. And I started thinking, I was like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, every teacher was a student at one point. So if you were a student that may have been bullied or you may have not been the popular student, whatever, you could project that on to your students and even take it out on other students that might not fit the same way that you came up. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, and it's, you know, who knows? You know what I'm saying? Because it's a personal thing. Obviously, I'm sure there are, you know, universal, or maybe not universal, but there are overarching techniques and things like that used for teaching. Mm-hmm. But after a while, it definitely, I'm sure there's some personality drivers, because when I think about when I was in school, you could see certain teachers, like you knew immediately if this teacher was a pushover, or this teacher was a sucker, or this teacher was not the teacher to play with, or the teacher, you know what I mean? They were in tune with certain shit. Like, it's a lot to that, you know? And, you know, it's that's and pretty,
And see, it's sometimes, like you say, it's very subtle, because as a kid, you don't understand that when you write an essay, your grade is a lot subjective. You know what I'm saying? And so I had this teacher, Miss Rosenberg, which, you know, I never really knew that Jewish people and Muslim people shouldn't supposedly get along. You know what I'm saying? I never knew that. You know what I mean? Until Miss Rosenberg. And so Miss Rosenberg, I'm in English class, she would put like, again, like the cool black boys in the back of the room, automatic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how her seating chart went. You back there with all a bunch of cool cats. And then, you know, we write some papers, we, you know, turn in some papers, and then first marking period, I ended up with a D. I had never had a D. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my pop's like, what the fuck is this D shit? You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know. So he set up a meeting with Ms. Rosenberg. I guess once he saw the name, he was probably had already in his mind that it could be a problem. And so, they came up. He came up to talk to the school. It was me, her, and him, and talked to the teacher. And so they had a whole 20-minute conversation. It had nothing to do with school. You know what I'm saying? This shit was all about, you know, Muslims and Jews. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there like, yo, what are y'all talking about?
Like, what is happening? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it, basically it turns out that, you know, from our perspective, it was like she was subjectively giving my point of view bad marks. You know what I'm saying? And so he took me out to class. And then, you know, you feeling like, damn, I might not be good at English and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Took me out to class, put me in this other lady class. And when I went into that class, it was night and day because she was welcoming. She was like, hey, you know, we're working on this poetry project. I mean, it's due on Monday. But, you know, just do what you can and see if you can get it done. And I was like, you know, and the rules was you could do whatever you want as long as you wrote this style of poem, each style of poem you had to write, but you could do it however you wanted. So, you know, I could use graffiti. I use, you know what I'm saying? You could use all kind of tools to make it pop. And when I got that, I turned that in and that shit got an A, I was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? That really set me up for how I move in life for real, because I knew that it was okay to utilize whatever tools I had. You know what I mean? If I had to draw it, I could draw it. If I could, you know what I'm saying? However I felt was best to present the information, it was okay as long as the information was solid. And that's exactly, you know, how I do in life now. It's like, it don't have to go the perfect way that everybody think it should go as long as you're using your tools, your best tools to present the information. And I can't remember that lady's name, but she changed the whole thing because it could have went downhill from Miss Rosenberg.
Right. Just that one little pivot restored your confidence, because for a hot second you was ready to write yourself off as not good in that situation.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Speaking of protecting black women, Meg Thee Stallion, She got an op-ed in the New York Times today talking about just that. And it was pretty good. It's really good, actually. And then there's a video piece that accompanies it that's dope, too, by this director. I think her name is Kazal.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I think the sad part about this whole shit is that some people are just going to take the other side just to take it. You know what I'm saying? Fuck out of here. Why you complaining? Da da da. You rich. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's like, because that's how social media is. It's just like people just take a side and just stick to it. It's like, it's not a lot of listening going on. But it's good that the conversation is happening. But, like, you know, the Tory Lanez fans are going to be Tory Lanez fans. So fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Ride with it all the way. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's the part that's kind of like discouraging sometimes. But, you know, if we keep having conversations and the conversations keep landing in the forefront, it changes as the future generations come. It changes a little bit and a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I remember growing up and, you know, you're learning a different way than your parents. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, they was from an era where, shit, you smack your wife and that was okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, it's people that still live like that. But it was a whole section of our generation that thought that wasn't cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn. So, you know, everything take time, you know.
Or even beating your kids. That's changed. Yeah. Or changing.
Beating your kids was totally A-okay. And, you know what I'm saying, there's people that still beat their kids, but there's a large group of people that's like, you know, maybe we could figure another way out to discipline the kids or get our kids to understand. But, you know, shit, that slave shit is deep, man. That shit, that's how we
it
know.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
It is. But, you know, it's so funny. It's deep as fuck, too. But, you know, when culture does shift, you'd be surprised, even if it's incremental change, you'd be surprised how startling it looks when you see it go back. Because I saw something on maybe Instagram or something like that, and it was, you know, bring back ass whippings. I think that was the hashtag, and it was a video of a dude beating his son ass, right? And this is some shit you grew up, either you might have had that happen to you or you seen it, you know, whatever, whatever. And watching that shit looked barbaric. But 15, 20, 30 years ago, that shit was, that was par for the course. That was an ass whipping. That was, you know what I mean? That's where you first learned. You know, it's funny, I had a conversation with somebody and I used the word staccato and they were like, well, what is staccato? You know what I mean? I, you know, I said what it was, but then I was like, it's kind of like when you get an ass whipping and the shit is punctuated. Like, didn't I tell yo? Like, that was the first real, you know what I mean? That's like, that's like your initial introduction to staccato. Like, oh shit, like this, this is, this ain't good, you know? But that's changing, fortunately enough, you know? Yeah, man, you know. It's a, you know, it's happening though. Change is incremental. That's the, that's something that I keep trying to remind myself, you know, just on the personal and the holistic, you know what I mean? Like, we in this whole with everything that's going on politically and racially, and sometimes you feel like shit just, it's the same shit over and over. You know, sometimes you, you need to, you know, I was talking to my grandmother, you know, sometimes you need to talk to people that have been here for a long time to kind of bring things back into focus, or even just read some history, do the knowledge a little bit and see how far you've come. Cause sometimes since it's so slow going, it's not as apparent, you know what I mean? Right. But you know, right, when you actually take a second look and you, you like, okay, well this is, you know, it's not, we're not all the way there, but we further than we, you know, we've come a, come a bit of, come a long way, you know?
Right.
It's no interesting. Doubt.
And I, you know, like my pops, you know what I'm saying? He would whoop some ass, but not often. He was more of the Jedi mind trick, you know what I'm saying? Psychological terrorism, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
So, you know, he would, he had a way of switching gears that, that made you understand it was serious, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a rhythm to how you walk through a fussing out, you know what I'm saying? Minor infractions, you hear, do something in the middle, you know what I'm saying? That shit get a little more intense. You fuck up for real, you know what I'm saying? Then you might get, you know, snatched up by your collar, you know what I'm saying? And really, you know, wolf down on. And that's not, but his number one instrument of parental terror. Was slamming of the big steel door that went to his room. You know what I'm saying? He had a steel door on his room door, and he would slam that shit and shake the whole house. Doo-doo! So he was like, you know, you might do something stupid. He was like, what was you thinking? You know what I'm saying? You know we don't do no shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what? I am so disappointed. Get out my face. And then you like, you go in there, go in your room and think about that shit. And then he'll go in his room.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst. Sound like he threw. He all the way through. And the disappointment was a, that's a, that's a hard, that's a heavy one. That disappointment.
You sitting there and at the door reverb. And then it's just silent. Then because after you get to the crescendo, and then you get the exclamation point of the door, the silence becomes a whole lot heavier. You know what I'm saying? It's like a movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. They had that orchestra going, and then that shit just drop off.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd be like, that's damn.
Loud damn. Ass silence.
I fucked up.
I think.
Say you be on your own ass. God damn, nigga, what was you thinking? I don't know, dog. I don't know.
That's funny.
So that's, you know, funny. But he would always be talking about, you know, you had to use your mind. You had to be able to use your mind to solve problems because your physical is, might not always solve the problems. You know what I'm saying? Your physical might cause more problems, you know? And you know, so
that's, he was a lesson.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? You put that into into us, and then we take it from there, and then we put whatever we put into our kids. Over time, collectively, the shit changes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So hopefully, with the conversation at the forefront, how it is, that can also change for black women.
Yeah. Hopefully, I think it is. I think it's advancing. I think that it's becoming more and more. I don't know if you know. You're starting to see it more and more. You know what I mean? Like it's certain shit ain't being tolerated. You mm-hmm. know, like it's there. I actually was on. I was on your shit, old Clubhouse, right? A couple mm-hmm. days ago, and. That shit is hilarious to me, man. It's interesting as fuck. It's very much, it's like the ear hustling app. You know what I mean? Like it's like being at a hotel with thin walls with interesting guests.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you hear a lot of interesting shit, some wild shit. But this in tandem with a lot of these other social media platforms, black people, particularly black women, are staring this shit to, you know, progressive, you know, heights. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shit that's not gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like there's things that are, you know, like you said, the conversation needs to be had. Like Twitter, you know, it's not really a conversation, it's just really an outburst. Sometimes it might turn into a thread, and if you got the attention span or the patience to go mm-hmm. through it, then you might learn something. But the spoken word is still probably number one, most compelling. When people get on that mic and speak from the heart or speak to what they feel in front of an audience, it's hard for it not to resonate. You know what I'm saying? And especially if the space is protected in a way to where like there's still some you know, some civility upheld. You know what I mean? It ain't gonna be a whole lot of, you mm-hmm. know, shouting down motherfuckers or, as my homegirl said, tone policing. That's not going to be tolerated like it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's slow as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And I, you know, as a guy, I can't even really all the way comment on it because, you know, that's not my fight. You know what I'm saying? I'll be an ally. But, you know, obviously I'm not as personally affected.
Right.
But things are changing. You know what I'm saying? It may be going slower than a motherfucker. But, you know, just even how the Breonna Taylor thing played out. Unfortunately, the indictment was some bullshit, and you mm-hmm. know. But I feel like the fact of the matter that became like a national story. Like it wasn't some shit that was just buried away. You know, there were people that were amplifying the voice, whether it's Oprah, you know, putting billboards all through Louisville, or just, you know, everybody mm-hmm. with the hashtag campaign. You know what I'm saying? Like just the media attention, the fact that, you know, Meg on Saturday Night Live, you know what I mean, going in on mm-hmm. Daniel Cameron. Like even if the justice that we were seeking didn't happen, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And maybe even that can change too, because I don't know if that's hard and fast. It might be an appeal process or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, this conversation gives momentum to the next conversation. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And it's like it's a touch point for where, yo, that shit ain't gonna be tolerated. You know what I mean? Like you need right. to know that, and you need to know how you know how lawyers and shit, they got the statutes or whatever. You know mm-hmm. they're like, well, if you look at this case here, that's where they jumping from. They not right. looking back at this case from 1941. They looking at this shit 2020. Like this, okay, now you need to be mindful about what happened here and you move accordingly. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I just feel like, you know, as long as we kind of stay on offense with it and, right. and keep the foot on the gas, shit will be, tomorrow will be better than yesterday. Right. Say that.
No doubt. But, you know what I'm saying, just like with and then another thing is like, I think people also get it twisted that, you know, that you, if you say, you know, Black Lives Matter, protect black women, or anything like that, right?
Right.
That it absolves people who do wrong or that, you know, do crime or that do anything from punishment. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like people will say protect black women, then the other people will point to somebody wilding completely the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like I think the one of the examples was what I seen was like, you know, some chicks in the airport wilding out because they couldn't get on the plane, they didn't want to put the mask on or whatever, and they just cussing the lady out, throwing water at her. Like,
oh yeah,
they should go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with the, you know, the protect black women thing. You know what I'm saying? That's just your ass need to go to jail today. You know,
you an outlier.
You don't fall under that. You can't claim that right now.
Right.
You can claim it another time in another place, another situation, but this right here, you know, that doesn't fall under the guidelines of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, just like with you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, people on the other side may argue, well, this guy was doing a crime, he's a criminal. But that doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying, he should have a death sentence by the judge and jury of just a police officer. You know what I'm saying? He's due process just like anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That doesn't mean that he's absolved from punishment altogether. It's just let the punishment fit. Let him get the same treatment as you would give somebody else that did the same crime. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
you know, like, I think, like, in the internet generalization, it's like all that shit is under one thing, and you know what I'm saying? And then everybody choose their side and argue from that side. It's just like when people talk about, like, they might say, you know, white people teach their kids how to save money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they send their kids to the good schools, and you know all that. Right. So it's like they compare the highest of class of white people to the lowest of, you know what I'm saying? It's like that don't even fit, because white people on the same level that's poor and in poverty, they going through the same shit. You know what I'm saying? They not teaching their kids necessarily about money. They teaching their kids how to survive, just like poor black people or poor any other kind of people. You know what I'm saying? I think people like to compare the extremes, and it's like, hey, that ain't really what it is.
The extremes move faster. You know, like, again, that nuance shit take too long. Nobody want to sit there. Nah, B, it's got to be provocative to get attention, to get them clicks, you know?
Right.
It's true. And speaking to that just real fast, shout out to Killer Mike. You know, he got the Greenwood Bank. Mm-hmm. He started this black owned bank online, and within like 24 hours, 10,000 accounts have been opened. So salute to that. There's black banking going on.
They giving out loans over there?
They might be. I don't know. You might want to go over there, see what's cracking. See what's cracking. Talk to them. You know what I mean? Tell them, listen, man, I've been a fan since the whole world or whatever. Yeah. I've been fucking with you some purple ribbon.
What's good with the good business loan, man?
It might. I'm thinking. You know what? I think that might be developing, because he was on the Breakfast Club and they were talking about that. That was one of the questions. I think they still developing. I think right now they probably still amassing the capital to kind of make it happen. But you know, stay tuned.
No doubt.
But to that, also to the other point about, you know, you comparing like the great whites to the worst blacks, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see that type of shit, right? That's some media shit too, because you've peeped it. Like, when they cover black people, they try to, you know, they try to paint a picture, they try to create a narrative of the worst of the worst. And when they painting white folks, that shit is very Norman Rockwell. They don't like fucked up white people don't really get a lot of airtime. Dude, I didn't see no white, really, I don't want to say none, but it was less than 10% of the COVID stories, especially the fatal COVID stories, just COVID in particular. I didn't really see too many news stories about white folks dying. So much so that I think people started to feel like it was almost like a black disease, like COVID was on some sickle cell type shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't, that propaganda is bad for us.
Right. And then, you know, what they do is, they present, they don't compare the shit like equally. They present the ratios. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how they, well, you know what I'm saying? It's a higher percentage of blacks per capita in the black neighborhoods than it is per capita in the white neighborhood. Like, come on, stop it. Mm-hmm. Just like when they do crime and, you know, violent crime and shit. They'll say it's a higher percentage of blacks that do, you know what I'm saying, violent crimes. But then when you look at the real numbers, black people say, you know what I'm saying, like, we might have the little edge on them in murder. Say if it was, you know what I'm saying, 5,000 murders, you know what I'm saying, we might have 2,500 of them. And then white people have 2,400 of them, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's neck and neck. But then if you look at shit like rape and fraud and all that shit, they numbers are way higher. Like, they have a way higher amount of people doing wild shit. You know what I'm saying? But they never show, you know, where all those people in jail at? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they did all that crime, where they at on the media? Like, if they did all of that raping and murdering and all that shit, what, none of them stories don't make the news? Unless it's sensational, unless they do some mad shit? Come on, B. You know what I'm saying?
And even if it's 2,400 to 2,500, it's 13%, I think, still, black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, versus whatever, 80-some-odd percent. Right. So, like, even they'll flip it on the other hand. I see Trump try to do this. He been getting this off. You know, when we keep talking about defunding the police or just, like, challenging how policing is done and, you know, the brutality that's going on with black people and all of that and black people being killed by the cops. He was like, well, more white people get killed by the cops than black people. And if you say that, it's true in a certain manner. But back to your point, where you do the real math and you start you look at the ratio based on, you know, community size. Right. Oh, it's three times likely if you black that you gonna get killed by the cops. But since there's way more white people, that's the bullshit.
They flip the ratios like a sales research person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They do that shit so conveniently. But like if you asking, why isn't there more black leads in Hollywood and more black shows on TV? Well, you only make up 13% of the country. Right. But then when you watch the news, shit, you're making up 100% of the crime stories when there are plenty of crime stories out there to go around for everybody.
Yeah, man. Numbers do lie. People say numbers don't lie, but numbers lie to the motherfucker.
Yeah, oh, fuck what you heard, they do.
Let me ask you this, man. Just on another. If you live by yourself but you have a pet, do you live by yourself? Do you live alone? And then if you talk to your pet, are you less crazy than if you talk to yourself?
Well, I don't think either one of them is crazy, first of all.
I don't either, but I'm just putting it out there. I'm just,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm curious because, you know, me, I definitely talk to myself. You know, I've talked about it, but to myself and to you. But, like, I see a lot of people that talk to their pets a lot, like full-on conversations with their pets. And, you know, there's no conclusive evidence that this pet really know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You could, you know. But my thing is, okay, if no one's in the room, you probably look a little bugged out, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you're talking to, you know, you're talking to your dog, and you really break it down your day, and this motherfucker had the nerve to tell me, you know what I mean, to your dog, are you any less crazy than the motherfucker? You know what I mean? It's some shit that just came to mind.
I think people need some outlets, you know what I'm saying, to vent. And it might be a more, I mean, depending on the energy that you're transferring to your dog, because while they might not understand your language, they probably do understand your energy, you know? And so, you know, depending on what you're giving to your animal, you know what I'm saying, it may affect them in a way that's positive or negative. It's like when people say you should talk to your plants. You know what I'm saying?
I believe that. So I believe that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I believe that. I've seen dogs that you could tell they just as nervous as their owner.
Right.
You know what I mean? They just as fucked up. Like, you could tell this dog is going through some shit. Like, this dog got bills due. You're like, dog, you ain't got to do nothing but shit and walk around. That's it. You ain't really going to do too much. But that dog is stressed. Right. Look at their owner. You say, okay, I see exactly why.
And then, you know, some people transfer just positive energy to the pet. Hey, good boy.
Right.
You know, all that shit. So, you know, I'm not a pet owner. So, you know what I'm saying? I can't. I'm only speculating. But
right.
I can only imagine, you know what I mean? That whatever you're around, the energy that you bring to it is going to affect it positively or negatively. It's just like when they do. I've seen some clips where they put water under a microscope, normal water, nobody around. This is how it looks all the way down under to the fine, you know, I don't know what they call the not atoms but cells or whatever. When you break it down to the minutia,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You see how it looks. Then they'll have somebody come and yell, you know, cuss at the water with some bad energy, and then. The cells or whatever it is changes form in that same right. water. You know what I'm saying? And then they have somebody come and pray over that water.
Right.
And the cells look totally different. You know what I'm saying? And it looks a lot smoother and a lot, you know, it looks prettier. So right. it's like, wow, maybe the words that we say and the energy that we bring does affect the things around us. And you know what I'm saying? Right. And a lot of times, when you see and bad shit happening or good shit happening, a lot of times it's not just these things are happening, but it's a reflection of what the energy that you're bringing. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's true.
So, you know, talking to your dog is fine as long as you're cognizant that your dog is just not a dumping ground for your negativity. Mm-hmm. Just like your kids, just like, right. you know what I'm saying? Just like everything else in your life.
Right. I saw this thing on Twitter, though, which is pretty ill. This woman, it seems like she's kind of teaching her dog how to communicate. She has, like, these little bells that mean certain things. So the mm-hmm. bell would be like, I love you, and another bell's like, Mom. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, I'm hurt. Where you mm-hmm. hurt? Like, paw. You know what I'm saying? And, like, right. she's teaching the dog, like, so, like, she's talking to the dog. She's like, the dog's like, hurr. It's like, yo, what's up? You hurt? He says, yeah, he hit the, it's like, where you hurt at? He hit the shit for the paw. And then she said, come here. And he walk over, show the paw. And sure enough, he has some shit stuck in his paw. Like, man. They had a real conversation. That shit is interesting. It's wild, man.
I wonder if he learned, you know what I'm saying? I got a, you know,
yeah.
pain in my ass. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got a bell for that?
Mm-hmm. I'm bored.
I ain't learned that one shit.
Right.
Broke my psychedeliac. Shit. Nigga, where's that bell?
What is the psychedeliac? What is that?
Man, I don't know. I just
is that just some rap shit? Is that
no,
some rap shit?
It's a real shit.
Yeah.
I once looked it up, but I'm gonna look it up now. But
yeah, look it up.
I just know it. I just know it from the song, and it's not the way that it's said. It's something.
Right.
It's something. You know what I'm saying?
Lakers done took it. Oh, yeah. Why you looking that up? Lakers done took that. It looked. You know, I don't want to say it looked like it was going. It was troubling for them, but Miami put up a better fight than expected. You know,
no doubt.
Shout out to Jimmy Butler and the crew. They were going for it. They was no going saying. For it, but then they got blown out in that last game. Though
it was too much. They had done left it all on the floor. They had no gas left. You know what I'm saying? They put it all out there to get that second game, and
mm-hmm.
it was nothing left. You know what I'm saying? See, you know, they had to do it though because they were down 3-1. You couldn't do nothing else but leave it all on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Or just go home disrespectfully. But,
yeah.
you know, I think Jimmy Butler took it upon himself to kind of, I'm going to put this shit all the way out, which increased his value tenfold just off the storyline alone. Because mm-hmm. it's only so much LeBron stories can go around. It's like, you know, he put it out there. He put it all on the line. He left it all on the court. You know, he's a hero. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He in the pandemic, the looking like motherfucking Jamie Foxx and shit. You know what
Django.
I'm saying?
Django. Yeah. Django Jimmy Butler. Yeah, he was out there. He was fighting. So it also shows. Go ahead.
Nah, so you know, his story is his value has increased because people gonna want to be a part of that story. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It breathes new life into the Miami franchise. It energizes the whole team. All the guys involved. It's just they didn't have enough experience. Like somebody like LeBron know how to pace himself throughout this shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I was gonna say. He's so conditioned. Like, you know, he's been there with the last maybe 10 times out of the last 11 years or something like that, something crazy. But he's been there 10 times at least. You know what I mean? He's been there 10 times, and he's so used to it. He's so comfortable. That shit is almost like preseason, like postseason.
Right.
He's supposed to be there. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know how they say, yo, act like you've been there before? Like, he's the epitome of that shit.
Right, and he knows the type of energy that it takes to pull that shit off. You know what I'm saying? Because during the season, it's a certain kind of energy. During the playoffs, there's a certain kind of energy. But during them finals, when it all comes down to it, the energy shifts. And then that's when all of the dirty tricks come out. That's when they pushing you to your edge. You know what I'm saying? That's when they fucking with your personal life. On, you know what I'm saying? They doing all kind of shit during these finals that we can't see that increases the pressure. You know what I'm saying? Just like when the Spurs turned the motherfucking AC off. You know what I'm saying? They pulling out any trick you can to get any kind of edge because it means the difference between probably millions and millions of dollars for that franchise losing and winning. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So a motherfucker that's been there 10 times, he understands that he knows what to look for. A young cat, he don't know. He think it's just another game until you get in there and it shit go to another gear. You know what I mean? Like Hero, he putting it all out there. But then he don't know that shit. He done gave his all and this shit finna go to another gear. Like, goddamn. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what the old guys had to teach LeBron when he was young and trying to, you know, carry his team to the playoffs and the finals and shit to get blowed out because – you done burnt yourself out all season. You tried to win every game during the season. You played every game to the fullest. And now you in the deep in the playoffs and your knees tied.
Yep. Ain't that a bitch?
But
gassed out.
But your sacroiliac is actually your sacroiliac. And it's the rigid joint at the back of the pelvis between the sacrum and the ilium, wherever that's at. But it's a real thing. All
right, there you go. Oh shit, man. What else?
It's shit right there, like at the corner of your pelvis, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying, when you get that little pain right there in your groin.
Right.
But not down low, but up top.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fucked up. That's a fucked up situation, man. That's a fucked up situation. What else is going on, man? This week, a lot of Black Thought dropping an album on Friday. Benny the Butcher dropping an album on Friday. Yeah, I'm excited about
some
that.
Some OG listening.
Some lyricism. This is a good time. The point's been made, but this is a really good time for lyricists that aren't really dependent on having a record in the club. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Because ain't no club and ain't no concert.
Not like it used to be. Yeah. So now it's just a lot of time alone where you could just sit there and listen to it. Get that. Lend them your ear. You know? So I'm excited to hear how them shits sound. You know, it's going to be a good look. Black Thought, Sean C. from Grime Music, they did this one together. Mm-hmm. It's called Cain and Abel, which is Sean Cain and I guess Black Thought, Abel.
Okay.
And then and there's a bunch of different producers on the Benny. This is his debut. You know, he's been killing shit for a bit. And, you know, this is one of these well-anticipated situations. So it's a good little weekend for music, man.
Yeah, and then, Howard doing the Yard Fest virtually this year with old Mari Hardwick is hosting. So Ghost hosting the Yard Fest. So I'm going to see what that's going to be about. That's this weekend.
Okay.
See how
check
they
that out.
Yeah, see how they
Friday?
You know, Saturday. think it's Saturday that they're doing it.
Okay.
Whatever the, I think it's the 17th. Whatever's the 17th.
Yeah, I think that's Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm. Who's on the lineup? Anybody been announced, or is it all going to be surprise type shit?
They didn't announce no. You know how y'all first don't announce nothing except for
right.
Old Ghost is hosting. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Ghost the host. That's yep. What's up.
Oh, man. Oh, I guess his niece, Raven Hardwick, is a Howard University broadcast junior, so she in there with my niece. That's
okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a power move. She's going, that's a good love. I was about to say they're going to be showing a love on the yard, but there is no yard on the virtual yard. She's going to get a virtual lot of,
yard,
you know.
As the Yard Fest host, Hardwick will be assisted by his niece. That's what's up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the way to put your niece on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, man, you got to connect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Get it popping. Use the shit. All right, so that's something to check out, man. What else? Have you been watching anything on television, or do we need to just speed past that?
Yeah, I need to speed past it because this was like a crash week where a lot of shit that needed to get done had to get done. So okay. I haven't watched a lick of anything.
Okay. All right.
But I promise y'all. Next, yeah, I know you laughing. Right, I know you laughing and shit.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Right. Just listen, I'm going to watch that Lovecraft. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And next week on Tuesday, no bullshit.
Okay.
I'll be ready to break that shit down. No bullshit. I'm actually going to start tonight.
All right.
Take it in pieces.
It's 9 hours you got. Because we're coming up on this weekend is going to be the finale. So you'll be setting yourself up. It's a good time if you're going to really go hard and binge that shit. It's the ideal time to binge it because then you could finish up with everybody in the game.
When is the finale?
Sunday.
Okay, cool. So, I start tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be able to catch that up and rock it out.
I bet. Yeah, I was in a conversation about Lovecraft, just a bunch of people talking about that shit, coming with various theories. It's definitely that show where people got theories and takes and, you know, impressions on various characters. It's official. It's official. I've also been fucking with Fargo, too, which is not as far gone. Like, it's only maybe 4 episodes in. That's been pretty good, too. You know, it's doing its own thing. I like that shit a lot.
One step at a time.
Yeah. I don't want to hit you in the head. You already got 9 hours of the situation. It took me mad long to get to Game of Thrones. So look, I already know what it is.
Hey, where you at with that?
I think I'm in season 3. It's like it's kind of slowed down again because there's a lot of other shit that's I've been fucking with. I've been
no doubt.
Yeah, I got all of the TV shit, and then I was I watched a couple movies. I seen Charm City Kings, the Meek Mill joint produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, you know, with Tiana Paris. Yeah, that shit was cool. I like how it was shot. It was a dope looking movie. It was cool for the most part. The ending, I don't want to spoil it, but the ending was a little unbelievable for my taste. But, you know, it is what it is. Then I watched this other movie called The 40-Year-Old Version.
I heard that was dope.
Yeah, that shit was cool. I liked that. I enjoyed that. It's funny, too, because I didn't even realize it, because I guess I hadn't seen this cat in years. But the one of the leads, you know, like the love interest for the main character was this cat Oswin Benjamin, this rapper cat that I know from Newburgh, who I found out about back in the days when I used to host Faces in the Crowd over at SOB. Shout out to Shalon and Reality. But he was one of those, you know, Faces in the Crowd, sometimes it could be hit or miss. You know, it's like a bringer show. So, you know, you hope for the best, but, you know, it could go either way. But he was always a fucking standout from the door. Like, this kid was official, and his career's been really taking off. He was on the Lox album just recently, and, you know, he's still doing the rap shit. But
I've seen him.
He played a producer. mm-hmm. which was different. Because I don't know if he produces his music or whatever, but, like, I know him as a rapper, and I didn't even recognize him until the credits came down. I was like, oh, shit. So, yeah, shout out to Oswin Benjamin. He did his thing. Shout out to, I think her name is Rada Blank.
Yeah, Rada Blank.
Yeah. She did her thing. It was really good story. Nicely shot, you know.
Mm-hmm. She from that whole Sean P. Terrence Nance community of filmmakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
She getting her shine right now. I seen Oswin, the first time I ever seen him was at a Sway Live event.
Yeah.
My homeboy.
Five Fingers of Death type shit.
I don't remember all the little buzz catchwords, but my homeboy Zakai Free came in town and he had tickets to the Sway Live. And Oswin Benjamin, he did a little something there and kicked it. I was like, oh shit, this kid is nice. And I followed him on the gram from there.
Yeah. Now he get busy. Mm-hmm. So that was that. Shit, man.
Yeah,
that's it, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah, that.
Hey, man. It was great talking to you, man. It was
absolutely shit, man.
It was refreshing.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. It's a good conversation. I'm about to go back and speak to my plant. I just bought a plant this last weekend, so I got a plant. You know, we'll see how that goes.
You was doing some research whether or not to talk to your plizant.
Right. I haven't spoken to my plant yet. I might need to introduce myself because I guess we've been living together for a few days now.
Living this old stranger plant trafficked into the, you know what I'm saying, this stranger's house.
Yeah. I got to get used to, I got to get in the habit of watering it when you know what I mean? Like you got to, you know, it's something different, something to, you know, it's not the hardest thing to do, but if it's just not a habit you got, that shit could just become a forgotten plant. Fortunately, this is one of them plants that don't need water every day. It's like they say, you know, just wait till the water get a little, the soil gets a little dry, then hit it with some water. So you maybe a couple times a week, whatever type thing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll
see you're part of a growing community of plant parents.
I believe it. I believe people need something.
It's like a growing, like I've been seeing, it's like, you know what I'm saying, like a whole cool culture of plant owners. And they call them like plant mamas and plant daddies and shit.
Okay.
You're part of the plant parenthood.
There it is. I guess I'm out here. Plant parenthood. Yeah, I'm in the plant parenthood. That's funny as shit. Yeah, so I'm just, look, man, we gonna see how it go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Committed to seeing where it go. I gotta get a what do you call that shit? A pot for it. Cause it's still in like the little cup. It hasn't grown super big to where it's got to get in the pot. But I gotta get a pot. Cause right now that shit is sitting on a good old a plastic plate. that shit look ghetto as shit. But we
gotta get your plant some living accommodations, a nice little bed to rest in. You know what I'm saying? A nice little sunny corner. Feed it some alkaline water. You know. Treat it right like you would your pet or your kid.
There you go.
Plant daddy.
Plant daddy. what do we call it? Plant parenthood? What you call it? Plant parenthood?
Plant parenthood.
That shit is funny. Yeah, man. So anyway, you got anything else to say before we get up out of here?
That's it, man.
All right.
See y'all after I watch this love crap.
All right. Well, they're going to hold you to it. You already know.
I know you will too, so I'm on my shit.
There it is. Well, until in the meantime, between time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
You get in the conversation. We out.
Yep. Yeah.